Yeah.
In the bed.
I really want to know. I really want to know.
Do you believe?
You don't hurt me anymore.
Gypsies, tramps, and thieves. People from the Tentaculous. It's not a bad song. It's a real Cher song. I think that's the name of the album, too.
You know a little too much about Cher, Tyler. Is there something you need to tell us?
Well, I'm sharing it with you.
Ooh, I see what you did there.
Oh, God. Oh, my brain.
Official podcast entitled Nitro Beard. We're gonna
Nitro Beard.
We're gonna Beards of Nitro.
That's right. We're parkouring into your ears. That's what we're doing.
Damn it.
Tribal style Damn or it. The tribe
I'm
style.
I'm gonna hate you guys so much because it's not a verb. But it's in the official Nitro Beard lexicon or whatever those
we're gonna,
are called.
We're gonna have our own wiki site and with our own lore.
Right, and every time we say a new word on Nitro Beard, even like the first word you said, which was welcome, we'll just add it to the wiki and give it some really inane description.
on September 28th, Wes opened this up the podcast with this word.
Yes.
And then like exactly. A listing of every date that it's ever been said on the episode.
Right, with timestamps and all that.
At 11:46.
Oh man.
But yeah, we're officially called Nitro Beard now.
Yeah, like officially. It's patented, so don't take it. We'll sue you.
Yeah.
Sue you worse than EA. That's not a segue. I don't want to talk about that right now.
Damn, that's heavy.
I was gonna say that was a brilliant segue.
You gotta wait to bring up the big guns.
I know. Ugh. We gotta do some lowball questions.
That's right.
Like. How are you guys today? Yeah, how are you guys feeling?
If you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be?
Oh,
spruce. Yeah, probably a great oak. Yeah. Maybe a cedar.
I don't know if it's frightening that you actually had like an immediate answer. Like you were asked this many times and it's like I really need to decide what tree I would like to be.
Mahogany.
Wait, what kind of tree does mahogany come from?
Oh.
Is it called a mahogany tree?
I don't think so.
Mahogany.
I mean, I know, major tangent there, but it just boggled me because people are like, yes, you know, I stretch my arms out in a grandiose manner. I have office furniture made of mahogany.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird because it's like what Mitch Hedberg brought up, rest his soul, before he passed away was, I wonder what a sesame seed grows into. Like, is there such a plant as a sesame?
Well, Stop it!
Blowing your mind.
All this tree talk. We're gonna have double the hits next week.
Right, we've got right from all the all
Nitro the tree.
Nitro tree.
We're gonna instead of having three listeners, we'll have five, and then right. And then one of them will cancel.
although, admittedly, at this point, from what Wes and Tyler were telling me earlier, this is kind of more Nitro scruff. I mean, I've got a pretty nice goatee, but they're growing into it. It's a process.
It is.
Yeah.
So
it's all spotty.
You're
I don't know.
Yeah, mine's really gross. Like, I don't grow mustaches really fast, and my mustache grows in really slow, and it's always, like, super blonde, so it looks like... I said earlier that I look like Spencer Pratt, but no one... I don't know if anyone cool knows who he is, so don't look it up, or I'll immediately become the biggest loser in the room. So, or Spencer Pratt will come after me. I don't want to deal with that guy.
Speaking of mustaches, real quick, going off into... the missus and I were at the... the missus and I were at the place that we're getting married at soon, and they were having a wedding this weekend, and they had, like, the party favors and supplies out, and they had a basket full of, like, fake application mustaches.
What?
So I guess, I don't know, it must have been part of the theme or whatever, but yeah, so mustaches, you know, beards, hair. Yeah.
it was like the theme. It could be one of two things. It's either, like, a porn get-together... where they all need mustaches, or it's like a remake of the Mario Brothers movie.
It's like a Burt Reynolds orgy.
Yeah. Just like they're making Miami Vice 2. Miami Vicier or something.
More Vice.
I am Miami Vicest.
Does it still have Jamie Foxx in them in it, or is it like offshoot thing, kind of like when the Karate Kid turned out to be a girl? You know what I'm saying?
With big teeth. Oh. Don't be rude.
Oh.
Don't talk about her teeth. She's an Academy Award winner.
Yeah.
For that
That reminds me of the, I think it was the, what is it, Broken Pixels, where they like sit down and play really old games?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm remembering I think they were playing the Karate Kid game.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a...
That was great. I mean, that game is magnificent.
It's so beautiful.
The new one was good with RoboCop.
RoboCop was hilarious.
More so, the game was really funny because I think RoboCop just said things you never expected him to say.
Whoops.
Like, he'd be like, Gazoontite. It was really weird. I think he honestly said, whoa. Like, something, like he was surprised by something.
No,
like,
he shot RoboCop a civilian and he went, uh-oh.
Shit.
I totally thought that when I thought you were talking about a new Karate Kid movie or game with RoboCop.
RoboCop.
I was like, man, did you hear about the new one with RoboCop? And I was the new Karate Kid movie?
Oh, man. Do you guys remember RoboCop versus Terminator or RoboCop and Terminator? Some sort of game for the Genesis and Super Nintendo?
Vaguely.
Anyone? Do you remember, what was cool about it was not the game, but that the box it came in was, like, made of plastic, and it had, like, it was almost like, it was, like, really, like, it was like a tire. Like, it was all, like, textured. It was really, really weird. It was, like, the coolest box you've ever seen in your life.
The one
I'm hoping now that...
The Super Scope?
I don't think so. No, it was like a platformer. And I remember my mom didn't like me playing it because you could kill ladies in it, I guess. Like, I don't know if they're bad ladies. Because no one said, uh-oh. But I think they're just bad ladies, and they charge you, and then you kill them, and they'd be like, ah! So my mom was like, oh, I'm not cool with that. That's a pretty messed up game. So I got to rent the Addams Family game the next day, so that's pretty cool.
Good deal. That story actually kind of reminds me at work today. Like, Sundays we get all the families and stuff up at EB Games, and this kid around, like, 10 this morning... He had a game in a bag, and his mom was right behind him, and he put it on the shelf, and it was San Andreas. And he, like, looked at me with this horrified look, and she was like, I don't want him bringing that nastiness back into my house.
Wait. So they're like, we don't even want a refund? We're just going to put it back on the shelf? Like, it's a dirty secret.
Like,
oh, my God.
Don't say anything. Shh.
Let me get those security tapes from today, too.
Oh, my God.
There's
so crazy.
Nobody getting out.
So did they get money back or
what?
Yeah,
well, they got something else. They got some, like, Naruto game. And, but what's bad enough is these parents act like it's the greatest sin. But here we are holding up the box being like, hey, this game is M-rated. Is it okay for the little one? Sure, whatever. It's just a video game. And I'm like, you know that this is kind of like Scarface, right? I'm like, yeah, he's what, Scarface? And it's like a kid and still in a freaking... like one of those leashes that you put on your kids with the
those. Yeah, I've seen those things.
And they try to make them seem not so bad, like to put like butterfly wings or something on the end, and you're like, no, your kid's still tied
up.
Yeah,
it's like a monkey. It's like, there's a monkey on its back, you get it? And I'm like, oh, shit.
Oh, right, yeah.
That's terrible. Terrible. Yeah. But yeah, we get the same thing, like people will rent an M-rated game and then like there'll be like notes on the, like some kid will bring up like It's like, I don't know, Assassin's Creed, and then I'll be like, oh, you know, you can't, and then there'll be like some note on the account that's like, they're allowed to rent M-rated games, and I'm like, what? I don't understand. It's so weird, but whatever. I wasn't allowed. I don't know. I remember growing up, my parents were aware. I think I had Mortal Kombat. That's because I begged, and then that was just a crappy game. I'm sure some people will contest that, but yeah, I was like,
sweep
oh,
kick. Sweep
so
kick.
Like, if I wasn't allowed, to, I wasn't allowed to play good. I wasn't allowed to play good games that were rated M, just bad ones.
That's how I was. Like, that's two games I owned for my Sega Genesis were like Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, and that Saturday Night Slam Masters.
I had the friggin' 7-Up Cool Spot game for the Genesis. That game was incredible. That was one of the greatest platforms in at least in my memory. It could have been the worst ever, but I remember it as being really awesome. And I remember there being like, I guess there was no really saving. You had to beat it all in one sitting. So I remember leaving it on for like 3 hours when I ran across to the street and like had a swim meet or something. And then I came back and I tried to beat it. I don't think I ever beat it.
No? That's Saturday Night Slammer Dammers. Could you only play that on Saturdays or what? did it use the Genesis' internal clock to be like, well, it's not Saturday yet? Back.
It locks you out of it. Well, no, but it had like all these crappy... Well, there was one cool wrestler, well, I thought so back in the day, because he had a motorcycle helmet on and he didn't have a shirt on and he had some like Ninja Fei Long pants on and he could do backflips and somersaults and shit. I need to find
what was his name?
Random McRandomster.
Yeah, like, that's crazy. I could just see that roundtable meeting where they have the character developers. They're like, okay, this guy's going to have a tomahawk and he's going to have clown shoes on. Like, they've just come up with horrible monsters.
You don't even need a character creator, because that's like, they're like, character creator or just do the craziest things that kids are going to do anyways. And they're like, do it, man. No shirt, motorcycle helmet. Because he worries about his brain. But it's like his stomach and stuff. He's like, he knows those are hard as rock anyways.
Yeah, he's ripped like Bruce.
So he's prepared. He's like the wussiest wrestler, really. I don't know. But imagine
he wants to hide his identity. I mean, did you ever think about that?
Maybe
no, I don't want to think about that.
Maybe that was actually Master Chief.
Maybe it's a grown-up baby, and he still has a soft spot in his head, so he has to protect it. But he's still a really good wrestler, even though he's a baby.
You know what crazy war we've just been making for the past, like, 25-some-odd minutes? Oh my god.
All right. So, since we made him wait last time so long, maybe we can go into what video games has Brian been in control of on a television or a PC monitor in the past?
Yeah, what have you been parkouring for us, Brian?
Oh, I'm gonna kick your teeth in with, Tyler will be happy to hear that I beat Quest for Booty today, the Ratchet & Clank downloadable short adventure.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. It was fun. I kind of hated the darkness mechanic at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie, it was
weird.
Pretty annoying.
It's not even some sort of thing like Zelda when they're like, because the first one it was shown, they're like, oh, there's gonna be a dark world aspect of it. And I'm like, oh shit, it's gonna be like Link to the Past. Oh no, son. But no, it's like, it's actually just literally dark areas, and you pick up little monsters and they glow, and then that way bats don't get you. So it's like super tacked on. Like, it's like.
And the really bats weird. Are like the most difficult enemy in the entire game. Like, you can swing your wrench all you fucking want at them, and you can't take them out. There's no way. The only way to take them out is by holding a tiny little amorphous grub that glows in your wrench, then you have to drop it to fight.
And then like the first time I didn't know that I should throw it ahead to like across a chasm. And then I got over there and I was like, well, yeah! And then all of a sudden they just jumped me. And I was like, oh my god, it's
all
like Gears of War.
Shit.
Yeah, so it was good.
But I mean, it was overall, it was enjoyable. I mean, it was a good lead in to the next game, I think. Yeah. So
I think they really need to do a lot of really creative things with the next one. Because this is literally my second Ratchet game. And already I was like, okay. It's pretty cool, but I'm just really hoping they mix it up a bit for the next one. So, and it was, I thought it was funny because I wrote a review like a while ago, like when it came out, and it was, I was like the weirdest thing ever. And I thought it was like a lot like, Super Mario Sunshine compared to Metal Gear Galaxy in the sense that they took away Clank, who's like your little helper buddy. Mm-hmm. And so like you couldn't have like safe falls. Like if you mucked up your jump, you were done, which I felt like Super Mario Sunshine was like that, like where like it wasn't really about platform anymore because you had like a little doohickey that would like save your ass. So I thought that was interesting. Did you have a problem with remember like throwing the wrench, like using the wrench to like lock onto things?
Yeah,
did that you was have, I thought it was so weird. Like you had to hold down R2, and then you could select. It would like show you what you could latch onto. But it was really finicky. Like I'd have to like clear out it before it would show me. I thought that was really lame.
It was like the only way you can use your telekinetic wrench power is by crouching first.
Yeah.
But it was really touchy. Like you had to be in the perfect position in order to latch on. But it was nice that you could get up and move around then as you were moving it around.
Yeah, which it took me a while to discover that, because I was like, I have to hold down this button and then hit this button and then move around. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, okay. A pirate
coming up behind you just like stabbing you in the back with a scimitar.
Yeah, exactly. And then the last point I want to make before I let Wesley Snipes jump in is that oh god, I totally forgot.
Oh god.
Ratchet and Clank Quest for Booty. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it was good.
I liked it. It was good. I can't remember what my point was. Oh no, just like how they threw weird mechanics at you. So you know, if you go into this playing Ratchet Clank, it's like it just like all of a sudden you're like, oh, my weapons. I washed across the I was in the ocean, now my weapons are gone. Oh, here, I'll just use my wrench and grab things with it. And I was like, wait. It's not like someone gave him something and it was like, here, use this, now you can do this. It was like it was there the whole time, and he's like, man, remember I forgot about this during our entire last adventure?
Yeah,
that was
exactly.
Crazy. That was like super crazy.
He was so badly in need of it because he didn't have his weapons that he evolved just that quickly, which I guess Lombaxes can do.
Yeah, it was just weird.
I guess I learned something today.
It was weird because I also know that you'd kill all these like bad guys all the time, and then in like the last fight, all of a sudden like their heads fell off, and then you had to use
exactly. Just randomly.
That never happened before during the entire game, and it's the exact same enemies. I was like, oh man, guys.
It would have been nice if they allowed you to kind of, you know, just throughout the game kept that mechanic in there with the regular ghost, so you could pick up the head and then throw their heads at somebody else. But
yeah, because they had other things you could pick up, but never a head. Like, it was so weird. I didn't know where the hell that came from. But it was still super good. So we just shit on it for the past, like, 10 minutes, but it was super fun. And it was really, I really, really, really recommend it. Was it 15? 15, right? 15 bucks?
Tell me.
A good price. You keep doing that. We can't talk about that. Maybe we can. We share games, but one thing, one of us will buy it, and the other one won't anyway. So that's one.
Yeah. One thing that was really weird was like when the girl, I forget her name, is trapped behind the force field, and you walk up to her, and you know, and you ask her, it's like, oh god, what do I gotta do? And she's like, the only way to break this force field is you have to throw death at it. And it was like, okay, and I guess that's when you finally get to pick up a ghost pirate robot.
Oh, yeah. I liked mixing drinks for the bartender. That was pretty fun, too.
Those were pretty fun.
It was pretty clever. And then, it was like, but I kept getting, like, what they, like, because it would be, like, yellow, green, blue, and red, I think, and they'd be like, a pinch of fiery doom. And, you know, obviously that's red. And then I'd be like, got it. And then I'd just mix up what order they went in, and I'd be like, god damn it. But I think my favorite puzzle was, like, you had to make a shadow by moving around these little the part of the environment to make the shadow of like this pirate's logo. Oh, that was really, really cool. It was a bit finicky. I was like, what am I doing wrong? And then I got it right, and I was like, yeah.
Well, the thing is with the mixing drinks, it wasn't just the colors. Like, I mean, the ice one was obviously it was blue, but you could see it was frozen. And then the one had bubbles, and then the
green exactly. That's true.
Good game.
Really creative puzzles. Yeah, I didn't see anything like that in Tools of Destruction, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
I'd like to see more of that in the next installment. Reaching stores in 2009.
Fall 2009? But let's see. Other than that, what have I been playing? Burnout Paradise still, just kind of messing with that. As far as single-player games go, nothing really new. That's pretty much the latest thing I did, and then I'm going to try to beat Pixel Junk Eden, so I can move on to something else, probably Wipeout HD, since that came out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm pretty excited for Wipeout HD.
Yeah.
Is Wesley back yet, or is he eating a burrito?
We'll never know.
I think he's fingering his microphone. So
that's right. I'll talk about what I've been doing.
Tyler, and tell us what have you been doing?
I went back into the orange box, in particular Half-Life 2. I'm sure everyone's sick about hearing about it, but things finally turned around for me because I finally beat Ravenholm. Applause.
Nice.
And I was super proud of myself. I felt great, and I felt like a man, and I grew hair in places there wasn't hair before, and it felt awesome because I battled my way. I finally got out. And then, as soon as I got out, I was like, oh, look, poisonous head crab, and it's daylight, and now it's City 17. You're in my world now. And I just took it out. I had no problem. I felt like I was super strong. And then all of a sudden, I turned the corner, and I got one of those crazy, jumpy zombies coming at me. And I was like, oh, man, you don't know what you're going against now.
Crowbar upside the head.
Yeah, you ain't with your buddies anymore, punk. And so I took him out. And I look ahead, and there's some zombies, and they're just, mingling about. Boom, sniper fire, taking them out. And I'm like, oh, yeah, the welcoming committee's here. Welcome the friggin' free man back. And I was like, Alex is up there snipering these zombies for me. Awesome.
Snipering?
And I was like, hey, Alex, what up, baby? And then, boom, they shot me. And I was like, oh, that was a bad guy. So I lost a lot of health, and it sucked. But also yeah. during my there's also so then I figured out that they're bad and it wasn't good guys. So I was like, oh, bad guys fighting bad guys. So the friends of your enemies or your enemy's enemy is supposed to be your friend, but no, they're still my enemy, so they were pretty rude. I didn't like that very much. But what one thing that sucked is I'm playing it on the 360, which I should probably.
Oh, Tyler, sorry.
I know. And so I make a lot of saves. I make a ton of saves, and there's auto saves and stuff too. And I got to this part with the dune buggy, and so the game crashed all of a sudden. I was playing, and all of a sudden, it went topsy-turvy and crashed into the environment. And I was like, oh no! And I was like, I'll just load up a save. And no matter what save I load up, it would all of a sudden I'd be on the dune buggy and just clip right through the environment, and just game would freeze. And then I was like, I gotta be pissing off my friends on Xbox Live because it's gotta be in shloo logged on. So I was like, oh no, I can't do this anymore. So I pulled out my wireless adapter, took myself offline, and I just kept trying. I loaded up, and then eventually I just loaded up a save that was an hour behind, and just played, just caught back up. It's Half-Life 2, man. Who cares? Still really fun. Right. So it didn't matter. That was my little my Half-Life 2 misadventure. I love that game, man. It's so old.
It's red.
I love it. It's so good. I'm always impressed that it seems like you have all these infinite possibilities of where to go, but you're always funneled in one direction without feeling like you are. You're always there's a log that's over a fence. I'll go over that instead of going left or right, and you just do it, and that's the right way. The level design is just unbelievable. I'm so impressed all the time. Absolutely. I've never played a first-person shooter, especially that can do that that can make me. I'll still explore, but just make you never get lost. You're never oh wait, I've been walking in circles. You're always being pushed, and it's done really, really very well. So that's awesome.
Quite right.
Good.
Man. I know.
I'd actually I'd like to take a quick moment to shill the little Half-Life race that a friend and I are doing.
Oh yes.
If that's okay. Yeah. Myself and a guy by the alias of Sarxis are live streaming. Every Wednesday and Friday, we live stream our race against each other through Half-Life 2 is what we're on now. We've done Half-Life 1 or Opposing Force, Blue Shift, and now we're on Half-Life 2, and we just beat the little Ravenholm section and also the Doom Buggy section. So I guess we'll put the link in the show notes.
Yeah.
But check it out Wednesdays and Fridays, and we hop on vent and people come, and it's a good time. And I kick his butt. Kind of, sometimes.
With your cheats, probably.
With your parkour.
God mode cheats.
Right, yes. With my Gordon parkour. But yeah, so anything else, Tyler?
I guess I just been picking out some other things, Wireland Shake It I picked up, and I'm just going through that, and it is as gorgeous as it looks, and it animates really, really fluidly. I think a thing that people were you have something like the Street Fighter 2 HD remix or whatever it's called, and everyone's right. Kind of like, oh, it's HD, but I think they may or may not be keeping the same frames of animation, so it doesn't really mess with the game that much. So right. it's a big mess, but this is just a really fluid 2D game, and it's just absolutely stunning. I just love it. It's really, really fun. The reviews are all over the place. I haven't played enough.
I forget if I miss. I forget if I mentioned it before, but I think that will probably be the first game that I'll buy for Wii in, like, I don't know, 6 months that I've, you know, even played it. So,
dude,
yeah, it looks rad as hell.
Yeah, and it is. It's a lot of fun, and it's really cool that there's, like, the sense of urgency. Like, you go to the stage, and then you get at the end, and then you have to, like, race back to the beginning. And I think the most relieving thing of all about the game is that there's been, like, a couple, like, Nintendo 2D side-scrollers that you're, like, really pumped for, and then, like, a month before it comes out, there's, like, the bombshells dropped about how it actually is not a side-scroller. Like, I remember Yoshi Touch and Go, which I eventually, like, which I got anyways, and I love it to death, but when it came out, when it was first shown, I thought it was going to be, like, you know, Yoshi's Island 2, in a sense, and really, right. It was, like, this really whack arcade game, and it was so different, and people, like, just hated it for what it was, but it's, like, honestly, like, the most addicting thing ever. Like, it's just incredible, so that's an old gem that I would recommend people to pick up. Ooh. I know that's totally off-topic. Well, off topic what I was talking about. So.
Oh, the old backlog.
But yeah, just been playing, picking that up. It's good. Wireland, shake it. Shake it into your Wii.
Ooh.
And enjoy it. Shake the money out of your wallet onto the cashier's into the cashier's hands. There
if
you
that
go.
Ever
that's,
happened.
That's the last line of my review. There you go. Shake it like a lady into your
well,
arms.
Well said.
Thank you.
Well
Wes?
Done. Yeah?
What video games have you been?
I have, well, but something I kind of wanted to touch on is, first off, congratulations for your Half-Life 2 nastiness.
And, your nasty. Victory
I
over
Ravenholm. I did
Ravenholm.
Ravenholm wrong.
I forget when it was. I think it was like when I first started, I guess when I first kind of met you and we started you know, playing PlayStation 3 games and stuff, that you were like, yeah, I'm playing Half-Life 2. You know, I'm stuck on Ravenholm. I'm kind of scared shitless of it. I haven't gotten through it yet, but yeah.
Yeah,
so
play, like,
so congratulations on your victory.
Yes!
Hell yeah.
Thank you.
Because that is the scariest part of the game, and I know during our Orange Eye podcast, whenever we talked about the fears of playing games online or survival horror, and like, that's a big leap. That's a I won't lie, that is a pretty substantial leap. But you were talking about how well designed the level, how well created the level design is, and I got to do a quick plug because one, I promised my girlfriend I'd mention her on the podcast, and
she is really a level designer at Valve.
No, but almost as good. She got me a gift. I went and checked my mail the other day, and I had like a little key in my mailbox, and I was like, "What in the hell?" And apparently, like, we have this other mail room that has just big boxes. And so I went and I unlocked it, and it was an envelope, and it was from Amazon, the book club. And I was like, I didn't order any shit from Amazon. And I opened it up, and it's that Half-Life 2 Raising the Bar book.
Oh,
like,
no!
That art book with all the...
Oh, yeah!
Oh, my God. It's perfect.
Oh, man.
That book is amazing. And they actually go through, like, a little, I don't know, design spiel on how they made the levels and why they made them the way they did. And if you notice this, whenever you replay through it, because after you get to the ending, I know for a fact the first thing you'll do is start replaying it again. If you notice, from the very moment you step into City 17, you can see the tower in the background.
Yeah.
And it never leaves your sight. Like, it's always there, so you always know where you're going. And it's just little things like that that other games don't even take into account. They just funnel you through some crap, and it's more like a roller coaster more than anything. But with Half-Life 2, especially now that you're out of Ravenholm, something you're going to notice is it feels like an actual journey. Like, you're actually pursuing this, you know, going through all these means to get to an end. And the end is very, very sweet. That's all I'm going to say. It's well worth all the hassle and all that stuff.
Dude, how much did she pay? Like, I'm looking this up. Amazon.ca, 3 new and used, available from $507.09 for Half-Life 2 Raising the Bar.
She took out the deal. She took out the receipt thing, but it was a note from her inside of it, which is awesome. And I was like,
aww.
I was like, beautiful. So thank you for that, babe.
That's hella awesome.
You said you raised my bar?
I did, in fact, actually.
And then she said, you're a pig.
Oh! And she was like, you're a filthy pig. And I was like, I'm so sorry. And a lot of weeping on my end was had. It was a long story. But what I've been playing, I've only been playing really one main thing. And it's because I got an extra few gigs of memory in the old PC. So the first thing I did here, I have things like Crisis Warhead. I have Unreal Tournament 3. I'm just looking at all these games that I have. I have like freaking Neverwinter Nights 2, Spore, all this stuff. The one game I wanted to play more than anything in the world was Company of Heroes. So I installed that again, and it runs like butter. And I'm so excited. And I'm so bad.
Is that the World War II RTS?
Yes, it is. Made by Relic, the same people that did the Warhammer 40K Dawn of War series. And it is phenomenal. Like, even if someone is not into real-time strategy, I would say Company of Heroes is absolutely the best place to start.
I was just about to say RTSs aren't really my thing. I mean, I can enjoy, you know, I enjoy the concept. My brother plays them a lot, so I don't mind watching them and stuff. But yeah, it looked pretty cool.
I think the thing that makes it, because I'm a huge Command & Conquer fan, like, I'm a big fan of RTSs, I'm just bad at them. Like, I will come out and say, if you play me online in RTS, you will win. I don't care if you're asleep, I don't care what's happening, I will somehow lose. But with Company of Heroes, it's so accessible, and I think the reason why it's like that is because it deals with real, tangible vehicles and soldiers. And I guess there's a difference in my mind, at least, instead of, like, with Command & Conquer being like, oh, well, here's an alien spaceship, and it does this, and it has these four abilities, and it can transport, and then it can teleport, and then these infantrymen have rocket-propelled grenade launchers. Like, that's awesome, and there's a lot of strategy behind it. But with Company of Heroes, it's like, here's your infantry. They have guns. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I can get this. And there's panzer tanks. There's sandbags for defenses. You can take cover. So if you're getting shot at, you best get your ass behind some sandbags. And I don't know. It just works. Something about it is just really, really – it's very enjoyable because it's easy to understand. The only time I get into trouble is whenever I start getting resources from different places. And the way these games are set up is much different from a – let's just put Warcraft out there, for example, or Age of Empires even – where you have to cut down trees to build some shit, to make people, to build more shit, to, you know, and you have this whole economy built around, right. I don't know, just making a civilization, sort of. But with Company of Heroes, you start off with the barracks, you start off with some engineers, you start off with your base needs, and the objective isn't to go cut down trees or mine ore or do all that stuff. It's to go kill people to take over certain parts of the area. And once you have certain parts of the area under control, you actually, like, there's one for gasoline to get all the stuff for your vehicles. There's one for ammunition. And then there's one for, like, oh, shit, what's the third one? It's, like, reinforcements or manpower or something like that.
Crystals or something?
No, not crystals. The opposite of crystals.
Coal?
Yes.
I don't know.
Fantastic. And you what's really cool is you actually get – you do that. You just kill dudes and get your gasoline. That way your gasoline will get you a bigger tank because you have more gasoline to fuel it. Like, it just makes – there's much more tangible sense making in this game than there is in other RTSs. So, I mean, it's easy to pick up and play. And if that doesn't do it for you, the tutorial is voiced by the voice actor Steve Blum, who also did Cowboy Bebop. And it's Spike Spiegel. So,
oh, I thought it was going to be Gordon Freeman, because he does everything.
Yeah, he does.
He narrates the shit out of
it. Oh, yeah, he does. And he's phenomenal. But and the other reason I wanted to install Company of Heroes is because of the departure of Sean Elliott from 1UP.com. And he's a huge Company of Heroes guy. And I was like, yeah, I need to install it and play it. I need to do it.
Need to be more like him.
Exactly. Like, there needs to be more people like it, but yeah, I think what I'm trying to decide during the break, I don't think 1UP will mind, but if I put their cake versus pie argument, you remember the one, Tyler.
I know.
You remember it. The Jeff Green, Sean Elliott, who are both
gone. 1UP. Yes.
They're two amazing, for people that don't know who these guys are, they are phenomenal game journalists, and I know Jeff Green was in the industry for 17 years, so he's one of the, like, founding Illuminati of games journalism.
Yeah, if you wanted to work under him, he had to brand you.
That's right, and he's and his eyes on the back of the $1 bill. True story.
There you go. And if you fold it in half, Sean Elliott's,
and then you cut it like Sean a butterfly. Elliott's. And then you seeing Mary Had a Little Lamb in German.
Yeah, it looks like Sean Elliott's leg.
Don't forget to dip it in milk.
But it has to be sour milk. People get that wrong all the time. It cannot be legitimate, like, good tasting milk.
Yeah.
But it can't be the ranch dressing that Tyler uses as detergent for his laundry.
Okay.
That was just one stinky shirt.
I'm gonna break this down for people that don't know. Before the cast, we always have this little chat room going on. And
we ask, we cyber.
We do stuff. a little bit with half-naked pictures of Brian, and it's fine. But
look, I've changed that now.
He doesn't want to be. Yeah, now some weird, like, now some weird artistic thing. Silhouette. Like,
it's Henry.
So
it's Henry Rollins. It's Henry Rollins with a cane giving the middle finger.
Oh, okay.
Hmm.
We can use that too.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of sexual. I'm not gonna lie.
Like, I know, put that finger in my butt. That's what.
But yeah, Tyler was complaining about. What were you complaining about? Your clothes smelling?
I was sitting with my girlfriend.
Tasted sour, or?
And I put my arm around her, and she said, "Man, someone smells sour." And I was like, "What?" And she smelled her clothes, and she's like, "I don't think it's my clothes." And I'm like, "Here, smell my sweater." And she's like, "It's totally your sweater." And I was like, "Oh man," because I know that recently I had to go to work, and I realized that my pants weren't clean. So I had to clean them because I had to wear a uniform. And so I cleaned them, and then I was like, I don't got time for this to dry fully. So I took it out of the dryer,
Shit. And
I did not let everything else dry completely. And so everything just kind of sat in there, and I kind of took it out, and I was like, clean clothes. And they're dry now, dude. Like days later, they became dry. And no, they're just like, they were dry, but then they smell like, they're gamey. They smell like...
Oh, it's like mold. Like it's like mold and shit. Deer.
Yeah, yeah. I'm getting sick. It's weird.
You got asbestos on your sweater. That's what
yeah,
that
man.
Is.
Ugh.
Some tetanus.
I don't feel good talking about it.
Yeah, so the moral of the story is don't use fucking bad ranch dressing as your detergent when you do your laundry.
Yeah, see?
Or leave it in the dryer. And
yeah. We're going to add those instructions to the wiki page.
And don't tell stories like this. Don't tell stories this like your friend to your friends because they'll pull this kind of shit. And so, yeah.
But now everybody listening can use it as one of their stories. Like if they're in a social atmosphere, be like, "Oh, this guy I know, he once washed his clothes and ran stressing." So you're actually doing this for the greater good.
Yeah.
For bettering.
So
the social
next time
life.
You score, you gotta think of my face.
Yeah.
With ran stressing on.
This is going some weird places now. I'm going to
We were talking about cybering with Henry Rollins. It was
I need an adult. I need an adult.
Yep.
Oh, man. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then whenever we get back, we're going to talk about some stuff that was in the news.
Yeah. Let's break, like, B-R-A-K-E, because the fun doesn't stop. It just slows down briefly, and then we kick it up again.
I'm going to go get a giant container of animal crackers.
It's really big. Everyone shouldn't. It's bigger than his head.
Oh my god!
And this guy's got a big head.
From all that parkour,
soul patch included. I if you include the soul patch, it's a little goatee. Still bigger. Still this bottle of crackers is still bigger.
A bottle.
Break time.
All right.
Break time. Yeah. Animal crackers.
Now, a dramatic reading from the one-up boards.
Note to Philip, you, sir, are dead wrong. You have offended me and lost my respect. Pie is the definitive winner over cake. Cake is heralded by the majority of the deceived population as the best dessert and food item to celebrate birthdays. However, any true American or person with any common sense should know that apple pie destroys all forms of cake, and it does not change a thing that there are other kinds of pie, because no cake exists which can challenge apple pie's majesty. Not even ice cream cake or Oreo cake or fudge cake. The fact that you actually considered your answer and still choose cake simply proves you have no idea. idea what you're talking about. You've lost all credibility in my eyes, and I will now stop listening to 1UP FM or reading anything you write because it obviously will be sullied by your ridiculous cake-loving bias. Didn't you play Portal? Don't you remember the theme of the narrative? The cake is a lie, and if you disagree with Portal, then you disagree with gaming and you disagree with me. Good day, sir.
Maybe cakes look nicer, but at the expense of taste. All those cakes you posted, they probably either are not edible in most areas or taste like total shit. Okay? Besides, some of those cakes have red icing. I know not all cakes have to have red icing.
Red icing's for retards!
But that particular blend of earwax and ivory soap had never defaced the beautiful crust of a pie. Now has it?
First off, fuck you! This completely irrational, deep-rooted hatred of cakes must come from somewhere. Bad childhood experience? Maybe. You asked for a chocolate cake, but your mom got you the kind with coconut shavings and chicken giblets that taste like pencil erasers. Fact! Dessert is defined as cake, pie, fruit, pudding, ice cream, etc. served as the final course of a meal. Fact! Pies rely mainly on their fruit filling. Fact! Food is a shitty dessert compared to sweets and treats like cake. Therefore, cake is better than pie. And to the Portal example before, that cake isn't a lie. GLaDOS kept the cake for herself. We see that at the end. The cake is a strong enough motivation for Chell to go through the test chambers, and she wouldn't do that for pie. Cake is so good that GLaDOS refuses to let anyone else have any ever.
Cake is the number one choice of evil robots everywhere, and Chell just wanted to leave, or at least she did in my mind, just like Gordon Freeman or Link. I get to decide what my character's true motivations are in those type of roles. I chose to believe Chell hates cake and just wanted to destroy the cake-obsessed corrupt machine and leave the test facility so she could eat pie. Saying that fruit is terrible compared to cake is ridiculous, to say the least. I could eat a whole pie, and I'd be fine. If I eat a whole cake, I would either throw up or develop type 2 diabetes. Are you saying you support type 2 diabetes?
No, I'm saying it's destroy, not destroy. You completely twisted my words there. You know what else you who did that? Hitler. Fruit on its own is fine. I said fruit is a shitty dessert, and pies, which are a dessert, as was clearly defined, rely on fruit. Ask any kid what he wants for dessert. An apple or a piece of cake. What do you think? What do you think he's gonna say? Cake? Apple pie is just an apple only sliced up and cooked in yummy sauce instead of a delicious crust. Fruit is an inferior dessert and pies rely on fruit. Clearly, pie is an inferior dessert as well.
I'm sorry. I'd respond, but my mouth is watering. I need some pie.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, okay.
Welcome.
With DRM talk?
Oh, shit!
Way to do
oh
it,
Oh, my
Tyler.
God,
way
we go. Redo it.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if this is going to be part of it or not. I'm nervous.
Yeah, me neither. Are we going? But, I'm just kind of
rolling.
You know
what? Let's roll. That's fine. Oh. Yep, we're back from break. We are back.
If you notice.
That's right. Tyler's interrupting.
I'm not going to say anything about
it. Just do it sign language.
That's his full name. Tyler Interrupting Oglu.
That's going on the wiki as well.
Uh-oh. Did I just interrupt the whole time? I'm afraid I do. I always let you guys have a turn. I'm always like, hey, guys.
That is true.
Speak.
You do. In that voice as well.
Yeah, I don't want the listeners to know it's me. I don't want to be a pushover.
Well, then you got to stop sounding so Canadian.
Oh no, son!
Oh, right, I went there.
Shit. That's bad.
So what's this, you guys? I heard you guys, and I guess I didn't know anything about this, but there's some lawsuit, like an actual real tangible lawsuit against EA.
Okay, here we go. Now, I will have you all know that in my hands right now, I just reached out and grabbed this. I'm holding a boxed copy of Spore in my hand. The Spore that has sold over 1 million units in less than about 3 weeks, which is pretty phenomenal for a PC game, right? Yeah.
PC game is dead. The PC.
Yeah, it's completely dead. Nobody buys it. There's 12 million WoW players, but they don't play it on PC. They play it on something else.
Yeah.
PC gaming is so dead.
The 1 million sold, that's stolen. Like, they mean, like, on the internet.
Right.
Steal it off your computer. They count that. You can't do that.
And, Tyler, it's funny you say that because EA is getting sued right now. And they're getting sued for about $150 million, last I checked. And the reason why is because of their DRM, or the Digital Rights Management, or Medium, whatever we found out it meant, on Spore, which is basically the copy protection, to protect against piracy and things like that. And EA's source and form of doing this is called SecureROM. And SecureROM has been known, and it's been spread around the internet to be like a virus and a Trojan and a rootkit and something that goes in your hard drive and can never come off and it's always there and EA is always spying on you. And that's the source of the lawsuit against them, is that SecureROM installs itself in the Spore install without informing you that SecureROM is installing. And that is fairly shady. Like, I'm not going to lie, I don't really agree with that. I mean, at least tell me, hey, you need SecureROM to run this game. Do you want to install it? And I'll click yes, and I'll install the game. So I can definitely see what the hubbub is about, you know, not telling you. That's kind of iffy. And also something about SecureROM is it does not uninstall when you uninstall Spore. It stays on your hard drive, which is true. However, I'm going to go off on a tangent for a minute, so I want you guys to say your stuff first about
He's going to start talking about George Lucas, isn't he?
Start skipping ahead, guys.
I'm going to just yell and angrily walk around my apartment. And
do it. I can't wait for this.
A man has so many chins.
That's true, though. But this whole EA thing is absolutely fucking ridiculous. Like, a civil lawsuit, really? First off, you sign up for end-user license agreement whenever you install any PC game. Doesn't matter what it is. And in this end-user license agreement, it actually states not that SecureROM is being installed, but that third-party software may need to be installed in order for the product to run properly.
Case closed.
Exactly. For me, that is case closed. They warn you, hey, this may install something else, it may not. Either way, I mean, they had their back covered. They don't refer to it as SecureROM, but it's
still pretty shady.
Yeah, that is shady. I'm not going to lie, that is kind of shady. However, these people thinking that it's a complete, that it's a virus, they can't get their other programs to work. They're like, my CD burning software won't work because SecureROM's on my computer. And I'm like, really? Because my Nero works just fine.
I can't see my AIM ads anymore.
Well, the thing is, and I'm kind of saying this, but I'm kind of not, is that I buy my shit, so I don't have a problem.
Word.
SecureROM isn't coming up for me because all my stuff on my computer is illegal. Mm. None of it's downloaded. Mm. However, SecureROM does come up if it senses that something is pirated on your computer.
Yeah.
And that's, I think people are getting a little bit angry because they're getting a bit defensive. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm not pointing out, you know, I'm not pointing fingers, but I'm sort of pointing fingers. And everyone, this has done a multitude of things, tons of things. If you go read all these different things like Penny Arcade, they actually have a guest editorial by a guy who's defending DRM. And that's fine. I don't really care about your stance either way, whether you don't like it or whether you do. Just be realistic about it. Suing EA for it, that's retarded. Like, that's the dumbest decision. That's like suing a credit card company for having credit card fraud happen to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not really their fault. It's either you fucked up and gave someone the wrong info. You know, there's a lot of parallels to it. And what I'm seeing on a lot of message boards on, like, a lot of NeoGAF or Penny Arcade are people losing their shit about this, saying, oh, I bought this game. I bought the digital version of the game. I should be able to do whatever I want, whenever I want with it.
Heaven forbid that they can't play their illegally downloaded copy of Imagine PC Gamers Babies.
Exactly.
Yeah. What does Sekirom do if you're running Sid Meier's Pirates? That's
ooh,
what I want to know.
This is actually, we need to do a field test.
Yeah.
On this one.
All right, PC gamers, hop to it.
Let's do this. Yeah, the world would implode. It'd be like you divided by zero.
And then there was silence from all forms of communication.
Except for EA. But
the new EA phone, buy it.
But something I just want to go off a little bit on a tangent about, because, like, my tangent hadn't really started yet.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You're not done?
Oh, no. Oh, okay. No.
Hold on to your butts.
Do it. Okay. Now, the whole mentality of – there's two mentalities that just piss me off completely. And one is, I bought it. I should be able to do whatever I want with it. One, okay, yeah, sure, you can buy a car, but it's illegal to fucking smuggle heroin in it. Like, you have to kind of know what you're doing whenever you get into something. Like, yeah, you can buy a PC, just don't download games illegally. Just don't do it. It's theft. It's yeah. No different than a credit card frauder. And another deal that they're complaining about is, oh, well, there's a limited number of installs. I only have 5 installs on this game, and then I have to call a 1-800 number. One, that's kind of a lie. Whenever you install the game and uninstall it, it gives you the install back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not like you just can only install it 5 times forever. That's lies. You can install it on 5 PCs, which is 4 more than I thought you could. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, you know, 5 is a lot more than 1, and I usually just install it on the 1. But I don't know. Just people with that mentality. And then they say it, like, DRM hurts the average consumer. Yeah. Oh, this just punishes us, the true consumer. I'm like, really? And then I would just want to ask these people, on their credit cards, they probably have a spending limit, right? Like of $10,000 a week or something. I don't know anyone's credit rating, but, you know, we'll just say 10 grand a week. And you have to call a 1-800 number to up that credit limit. Same thing. It's just put there for whatever reason, for protection, for what Lord knows what have you. There's tons of situations out there where it could come in handy. But the credit card frauders don't have to deal with that because they can bypass it. So that 10K cap is limiting the consumer. Whatever. Like, don't come at me with that shit. Pisses me off. Who's going to spend 10K a week? Really? Man, I want your job. Whoever spends that, I want your job. Call me up.
Don't be trifling.
Yeah, man. We'll Parker you into the into an early grave, punk.
That's right.
Oh, you are going to get it.
See, what I want to know is you guys are the PC guys. You guys are the cool PC gamers. I play the orange box in my 360, and that's why it freezes and fucks up on me. But I want to know things like Steam and is it whatever, I don't know if it's called Stardock or Stardock service, like what are they offering that's so gene, like that's so much greater than Sekirom or Sekirom or sorry whatever it is.
Basically, the way Steam works is it does have a DRM, however it can be somewhat disabled. Basically, Steam's DRM. I just know Steam's a lot more than Stardock. I've bought like 2 games off of Stardock service and it's really good, but I haven't used it enough to really know the way they handle their business. Right. With Steam. Basically, you have to be connected to the internet to authorize that you have a proper version of the game every time you play it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
You buy the game, you can uninstall it and install it as much as you want, just honestly, just like Spore. And it just needs that authorization by connecting to the internet. However, you can tell Steam to go into offline mode. And as long as your games are fully patched and at 100% ready, you
right,
can play
as long as you. As long as you have that game downloaded on your hard drive, you know, you're fine.
Right, exactly. And also, you can make hard copy backups So let's say if you just bought, like, I just bought Stalker recently, and let's say I wanted to put that on my one of my DVDs, I have the ability to do that, and it's a legit DVD copy of Stalker. Which is a really cool and handy thing to do. I mean, everyone compares it to Steam and how much, you know, how much more draconian that EA is compared to Steam, and that's absolutely true, but you have to look that Steam is ahead of the curve right now.
Yeah.
They are the epitome. Like, they are the perfect online store. That's why they've done so well for themselves. And if people were picking something to be mad at EA about, there's something that you can do on the EA store. And if you get a digital copy of a game like Spore, one, you pay more money for it, but also it's only good for 6 months. Which means after 6 months, you either buy another copy of it, or they offer this fantastic service where if you pay them $5, it will extend it forever. Like, really? That'd piss me off. That's why I went and bought the physical copy, because I didn't want to deal with that. But yeah, these people talking about Secure ROM and how it killed their baby or whatever, it just make me mad. I don't know. These people just rub me the wrong way.
I think that's like console gamers talk about graphics, PC gamers talk about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like DRM. Kind of stuff. My digital rights as a consumer. It's like we're in the infant state of digital entertainment. Like, if you want to look at anything, look at iTunes. iTunes, you can't play those songs on anything but iTunes. I mean, at all. You can't put it in, like, Winamp will barely read them. They'll go on your iPod, but then you have to like, if you put your iPod up to the computer and the songs aren't on there, it deletes your iPod. Like, just crazy shit, you know?
iPod.
Yeah. And it's made by Apple. Like, that's made by Apple. That's an official product that they make tied in with another product they make that deletes your hard drive, your portable hard drive. Like, you're not telling me that's more ridiculous than what EA's doing with Secure ROM?
Yeah.
Come on now.
It is crazy.
Craziness.
Yeah. See, I'm a console gamer. I don't have to worry about this stuff.
However, something I do want to bring up, you console gamer,
is
there's the rumors right now, right, that you're going to be able, once the hard drives get bigger and bigger, that you'll be able to burn games to your hard drive.
Yeah.
What kind of bullshit limits do you think they're going to put on that? Like, let's just do a few theories now. You'll probably only be able to have the game on your hard drive for 30 days, and you'll only be able to – they're going to do something. Yeah. It won't be a free, like, oh, just put whatever you want on there. It ain't going to work like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just digital is a whole different form, and we're just kind of learning our – what's our footing? What are our rights as the consumer? What's their rights as the retailer or the vendor? Rather, I don't know. We're going through that growing pain right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All I know is that I'm going to buy a copy of Spore. Can't play it, but if this civil lawsuit goes through, I can make like $120. It's crazy.
Yeah, dude.
It's insane. So, no, I would never do that. I'm just joking. Don't worry. But still, that's what the lawsuit is. It's like you pay like $50 and like – this thing I read, it was like you make three. It'll like if the civil lawsuit takes off, which it won't, cause it's crazy. and you make like three times as much. You make like $1,500. Like, I'm sorry. Oh God. Man,
what version of Spore did you get?
$150. That's how much you make. That's how much you get. Yeah, but I think it's funny too, cause I think Grand Theft it reminds me of the San Andreas lawsuit, which it kind of came through, I think, then a little while ago. Then it was like, actually, it's not going through. But it was like, if you had San Andreas, you could mail it and you get so much money back.
That's right.
It was like $7. It was really, really weird amounts. And it was like, if you had it but sold it but still have the receipt, you get like $250.
And then
it's like, you had the instruction manual.
And you could only get the money if you were personally offended.
It was like, super, yeah, exactly. It was so weird. But then, like, I remember, it, like, popped up, and people were like, I'm going to do it. It's free money. I remember I had a chance a while ago that Metroid Prime 2, there was demo discs, and I'm Canadian. And so the Canadian warehouse ran out, and so they had to start shipping them from the States for Canadian residents. And so when it came across the border, they didn't label it as, like, a promotional thing or as like a gift or whatever. So I had to pay customs on it. It was, like, $8. And then, like, people had – What a field day. But Nintendo's like, oh shit, okay, tell us how much they charged you, and we will gladly mail you a check. So I have this like cool check from Nintendo, and I'm like, this is when Nintendo gave me money. And I was like, this is the craziest day ever.
Oh,
I got
shit.
$8. It was pretty cool. And that was my cool day, where I got money from a video game developer.
And you also got the Metroid Prime 2 disc. Like,
just, yeah, exactly.
That's amazing. You just won on both accounts.
No, and then I bought the game, so Nintendo made a sale. So there you go.
There you go.
They're smart. They know how to do things. Everyone should do that. Mail a demo disc and then give you money when they charge you.
I agree.
That's what we've been talking about this entire time. Where's my Spore demo disc so I can get my money for it?
I think it was called the Creature Creator.
The Creature Creator, right.
Oh, my God. I don't think it ran on my computer. Aww.
Mwah, mwah, mwah. Okay, gang. So about that George Lucas. No.
You mother...
Oh, my God.
Aww. He made the prequels based on how many chins he had, so he had three. If he was a chubbier guy, we would have had another one. So.
We're going to get sued. I'm gonna get sued.
No, yeah. If you want to get, just call it the Lightsaber Podcast, and he'll be like, "Lightsaber, that's my idea."
And I'll get sued. The bright saber
impression of him, actually.
Wasn't it like in Smash Brothers, like the Japanese version, which was like Dengotsuyu Smash Brothers? I can't remember the name. No, there's an X in there, or something like that. It even had sound effects. Like, it was like womp womp. I think that's true. And then North America, they're like, George Lucas, he's not cool with this kind of stuff. So they got rid of it. And I don't know. I don't know if it made a sound effect at all. It made like the sound effect of like pans hitting one another. You're like, oh, it's kind of weird.
George Lucas is too many. He's too busy making crappy movies like Clone Wars.
Yeah, I wanted that to be really good.
Oh, it was not really good.
I saw a trailer and I was like, is Yoda talking? Because his lips aren't matching up at all. This was made in English. What is happening? So I was like, I don't know if I can invest in that kind of product.
Not only that, that was the only film in the history of me going to films that I walked out.
Absolutely,
that garbage. Like, there's a character that's exactly like Hannah Montana. Like, to a T. And she's like, sassy girl Jedi with a life of her own. And she's a rebel without a cause. But she has a hot occult. Like, the most ridiculous. I was watching this and I was like, there's no fucking way she's a Jedi. There's no way. And then she starts doing backflips and handsprings. And I'm like, oh, Jesus.
And her midichlorians were off the scale. And you're like, oh, my God. Yeah.
Her cell count is astronomical.
Look at all those midichlorians.
The only movie I ever gave up on was I don't know why I was watching it. I don't know if I had a thing for anyone in the movie, but it was Summer Catch with Freddie Prinze Jr. And I believe Jessica Biel was in it. And I think the point I turned it off is when like it's so they're like cool kids, so like people I would never get along with in real life, and they're like a baseball team or something. And so like the guys like lie down on the grass and like they have a beer. And then the girl, like, will take – and this happened throughout the film, like, a couple times. It was weird. And the girl will take the beer and be like, so how do you want your beer, regular or special style? And the guy will be like, Freddie Prinze Jr. Listen up. Freddie Prinze Jr. is all like, special style. So she stands atop him, puts the open beer between her legs, and, like, lets it splash on his face. And it's, like, the weirdest thing you've ever seen.
What the shit?
He's eating it up. He's like, yeah!
He knows how to party.
Oh my god, that's the most terrible thing I've ever heard.
No, this is the Special Style Podcast. That's the name.
Special Style. That's right. You did say you were going to parkour your face.
Yeah, I'm going to hold your iPod between my legs and let the music just dangle out onto your ears.
Just beat itself.
I'm going to teeth your feet in with my kick.
Oh, my lord. That's how we talk to one another. We are not friends.
It's just the chat room.
Speaking of movies, I finally saw Superbad this weekend, and I also watched Hancock while on the train from New York to back down to Baltimore. Hancock was actually really good. I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's definitely worth watching, I think.
It came out amongst a slew of other really good superhero movies, so it was kind of hard to be like, I'll check out this like one that's like looks like weird. I don't know. I guess it's Will Smith kind of bugs me. I don't know. But I don't like saying that kind of stuff. It just didn't look hilarious to me. But Jason Bateman was in it, so I was like, Jason Bateman's a cool guy. Yeah, so he's a good man.
Yeah, but Superbad was holy shit hilarious. I don't know why it took me so long to see that.
Yeah, I don't know either. Well, that's so weird, man.
It's so worth it.
You're like, look at this movie, was... super bad. You wanted to see it, and you're hoping it was bad, so you can be like, and it was. But you didn't get that chance. You don't get that chance. Actually, super good. Another, I think, I don't know, did you guys ever see Forgetting Sarah Marshall? That was excellent. That was, like, from the same crew of, like, the new romantic comedy that's just a comedy that actually has a heart, and it's really good. I love that movie.
Comedy
it came out before the slew of comedies that came out during the summer, but it was really good.
That's the word of the day, slew.
Slew? Have I said it more than once? Have we said it?
Yes.
What?
You said it three times now.
Man, that's embarrassing.
It should either be that, like, that should be the word, or something like magnanimous.
Whoa. Masticate.
Opulent.
Ooh.
Man, Wario Land Shake, it's opulent. Mega Man 9 is unopulent on purpose. It's retro.
I wonder how many people are actually going to, like, a thesaurus.com and, like, what does that mean?
No, they're smart.
Thesaurus, so they can find out other words they don't know that describe it.
Right, they're like, maybe if I read into the context clues, I'll be able to find out what this word means.
No, they're probably like, man, that Tyler kid doesn't use any words right. It's like, he's insane. He uses Parker as a verb and opulent as a personal pronoun. I don't know.
As a conjunction.
Like, what is opulent not? And I had the hardest time. I was struggling with it. So I'm a fool. I'm the one looking up on the thesaurus after we record. I look up all the stuff that you guys say.
It'll be in the show notes.
You know?
Thesaurus.com.
Heroes. Noun. Product. Etc. So.
Right, what about
us? Oh.
No, well, I was going to ask about the pact, you know, the blood pact we made last
week. Why are you bringing this up? You're killing me.
I'm killing myself too, man, because I have not watched Battlestar Galactica
I didn't get Mad Men whatsoever. I think what I'm actually going to start watching, I'm going to swap on you guys. You guys can't fucking change, but since I'm the host, I'm changing.
Change it.
To It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, that's a good call. You can watch that on Hulu. And
yeah, that's why I'm going to do that, because it's easily...
I watched the premiere and first episode of the new season today, and it's awesome.
I have the first disc of Battlestar Galactica. New series, as it says on the case. Season 1.
I will be seeing my brother on Tuesday, and hopefully can get the DVDs of Battlestar Galactica from him then. Yeah.
Like, see, I was nervous Wes was going to actually do it. I was all prepared to be like, oh, it's like the star, and it has, like, guns on it, but it's not Death Star. But it has a star in it. That's why it's Battlestar. And then like Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman's in it, so it's like Battlestar Gattaca.
Morgan Freeman's the narrator.
Battlestar Galactic Attica.
Yeah, Galacta Attica. Galacta Attica. Atticus. Galacta Attica.
Attica.
So yeah. So I'm glad. I'm glad none of you guys are losers like me. We didn't. Our blood pact. We're the worst blood brothers ever.
We are the worst. We need to retire. Man. But I think what sold me on the idea of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia was I was asking one of my coworkers about it, and he just told me about, I guess it's the first episode, where they build like some sort of squad to go take out hobos in the city. And they go to a junkyard, and they're like, we should get a junkyard dog. And the guy like looks around, and he's like, we don't got a junkyard dog, but we got a junkyard cat.
Right,
and
yeah.
Just the fact that my friend told me that, I couldn't stop laughing, and I was like, I want to see a cat, like, in a police car. Oh, my God. Just that.
It's so great. You're in for a treat, because it's totally radnormous.
Oh, radnormous is another good word.
That's going on the lexicon, man.
That's one if you look up, it will be there.
Radnormous and incredulous.
You just keep that up in the memory bank in the old canoodle.
Man, that's right up there.
We're in the brain cheese.
Cheese.
That sounds like some like horrible Chuck E. Cheese thing.
Now we've come full circle back to the terrible animatronics at Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, that's right. Whenever it was called Showbiz Pizza.
Showbiz Pizza, and but the name was not like a kid friendly band. It wasn't like Fire Band or something. Like, it was so weird. I was like, what's with this band name? It was on the Gorilla's keyboard or something. Like,
Satan's
like,
Hell Screams.
Yeah, it was so crazy. I was like, this name is not kid safe. But yeah, but I think those videos were fun. But then there was one of them that like the dummy kept crossing its eyes, and I was like, whoa! It was really creepy. I didn't like it.
I just want to put on like death metal or like old Rob Zombie songs. Like, have them sing Dragula.
The full circle again. We love it. We always have to reference the first episode in Dragula, because I remember I sang that a bit in the last one. Maybe I did this one.
If not, then you have to do it this time. Or we'll just have Dragula as the in-show topper. Because last time we did the Bonnie Tyler? Bonnie Tyler, that's right. The Short Circuit song.
Well, see, I know I said it wrong at the last podcast. I was like, yeah, yo, I know it. You know, it's Bonnie Hunt. I know my shit. And then it ended up being the other.
No, you found out about it. You found it before we closed on that night.
Oh, that's right.
On maybe Magic Night.
Magic Night.
Dreams were made.
It's Bonnie Tyler. It is Bonnie Tyler.
What are we even talking about now? Like, we've gone. I can't really remember. I'm going to have to listen to this again to figure out what the hell we talked about.
Are we still podcasting? Or
yeah. It's like, people are going to listen to this? Oh, shit.
I'm going to put my shirt back on.
It's garbage back out. just re-air that stuff when we talked about, like, cooler stuff, like video games, and put that in right here.
Well, the saving grace is, I think, during this past middle break, I put in the Jeff Green, Sean Elliott, Cake versus Pie rant.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that
the best part of our podcast is someone else's. So
yeah, exactly. Awesome. The highlight of us happened by someone else, and they're not even in journalism anymore. So what does that mean?
I don't know. I'm just going the wrong career. I got to drop out of school.
That's right.
Yeah. It's dead.
That's right.
All right, everyone. So we got to sing the goodbye song, the Nitro Beard goodbye song.
Yeah, we have to make it up on the spot.
Remember? Okay, here we go. One, two.
You sing the first verse.
Goodbye from Nitro Beard. We hope you enjoyed your stay.
And if you did not listen, we will all consider you gay.
But if you enjoyed it, blah, 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 blah.
That's the vomit sound effect.
Brian forgot.
Forgot the Nitro Period song, the goodbye song that we didn't make up yet. I'm
sorry. We'll make a heavy metal
make version. Up, to make up for Wes being rude, I'll have to do another line, okay?
Yep.
And when we say we think you're gay, that's just fine with us. Because if you don't listen and like what you hear, we'd rather you get hit by a bus. The
bye
end.
Good night. Bus.
Bye, everybody.
A bus.
Bye. Goodbye, my friend. Bye, Jerry Halliwell. We loved you.
Bye.